think anybody's missing. I think that it's just all the way it always must be. Happy Father's Day to all the men, and I am glad to see all the men who are here. Although there are a lot, I'm sure, that are out, we do have a lot here, and happy Father's Day to you. We celebrate Father's Day in June in America, so it's a little odd and weird to me to be entering into September and saying happy Father's Day, but every day is Father's Day, really. I want to say how happy I am to be among you. I want to say thank you to the Downs for your wonderful hospitality. We have just had an incredible time. They are fabulous hosts, and we are in love with Australia and its people. So it's just an honor to be here today. I just hate that we live so far away, because that means we can't come back anytime we want to. We have to really make it intentional, and I'd like to kind of slip away and run away sometime and just come over here, although that wouldn't be possible. But I do thank God for his presence. I thank him for his presence at the ladies' retreat last weekend. I thank him for what's happened at the men's retreat. Got a text from my husband this morning, said there was a great move of God there last night. So thankful for that. My daughter, my son is with me today. I'm happy to have Braden with me. Our daughter is 22. She is in the Philippines on an AIM program there, teaching at the Bible school in Manila until December. And we talked to her this week, and our daughter is, she's just a different person. God shows her things, like visually. She sees visions, and I've always wished I could, but I don't have that gift. But God has given it to her, and it's amazing some of the things that he has shown her. But before she left to go, she had been in prayer and fasting about the whole thing, and he showed her that at one particular chapel service there at the school, she would be speaking, and he showed her the people who would be there, even to the, down to the detail of what color shirts they would have on. And so on the spur of the moment this past Wednesday morning, they asked her if she would speak in chapel that night. And because of some different kinds of situations, the students who normally go out and speak on Wednesday nights or work in churches in the area on Wednesday nights, they were not able to do that, and so they were there in chapel. And she said it was amazing to see the shirts that she had seen in her vision that were represented there. And she had a message for them. And so what she told them was, she said, God knew way before I ever left to come here who was going to be in this place tonight. She said, and so what the word he has for you, she said, it's no accident that you are here. She said, he knew before I ever left America who was going to be in this building tonight. So she said, God knows your name. He knows where you are. And it was a great move and all that kind of thing. The reason why I'm telling you that is this. I didn't have to see a vision to know that God knew you were going to be here today. And I know how he does things. He puts things together for a reason. And he puts people together for a purpose. And he's done that this morning. And I am just so thankful that he allows us the privilege of experiencing his mercy and his grace in bringing us together for a particular message, a particular word. And I do believe that there is a particular word for this group that is in this building today. So if you will open your hearts, I'm going to get started. I won't be long. It's short. I'm going to read first from Leviticus 11, 29 through 31. These also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel and the mouse and the tortoise after his kind, and the ferret and the chameleon and the lizard and the snail and the mole. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whosoever doth touch them when they be dead shall be unclean unto the even. I am an animal lover. I love animals. Most all kind except reptiles. I do not like reptiles. I don't do reptiles. Snakes, these lizards, these things you guys have over here. Heard yesterday about the mountain that it's protected because there are some legless lizards. I don't care whether they have legs or not. I don't like them. I don't want them around me. but I love animals. And so it is almost weird to me, because I'm such an animal lover, that God would deem certain animals off limits. You know, he made them. Why would he deem them off limits? But he deemed them off limits to the Israelites. They were unclean. And so what this means to us is there's a deeper meaning all through Scripture. The Hebrews say that there are four layers of meaning to Scripture. There is the top layer that anybody reads like a newspaper and understand. And then you go down and you get to another meaning and another. And then the deeper meaning, the sod is what they call it. That's the fourth level of meaning. And then you go, that gets into symbolism. And I believe that. The Bible is full of symbolism. But the mole, the lizard, the chameleon, the ferret, and the mouse, and the tortoise were deemed unclean. Do you know what a weasel is? Do you have them here? No, but you know what they are? Okay. We have them in Louisiana. In the church and out of the church, we have them. I shouldn't have said that. You might want to erase that. You might want to turn whatever's off up there. But the main thing I want to talk to you about today is not the uncleanness of the weasel, but this. Isaiah 40:31, Kylie. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And the symbolism of an eagle in the Bible is good. A weasel, you have to know what a weasel is in order for me to go forth in my my little talk this morning. A weasel lives in the abandoned burrows of other mammals. It doesn't make its own home. It steals homes. It will live in a rotting log, or it will live under tree roots or rocks. It takes the nest of another animal and brings its touch to it. It gathers fur or grass and leaves and lines it. It's not active in the day. It doesn't like the light. It likes the dark. It does not hibernate. It's active all year round. The long-tailed weasel can climb trees, and it's a good swimmer, which tells me it can get any place it wants to go and do anything it wants to do. It doesn't have its own individuality. It doesn't even have a sound that is unique to its own kind. It uses lots of different vocalizations, including squeals, squeaks, trills, and purrs, like a cat. Releases a strong-smelling musk when it's frightened, and it's very aggressive when it thinks something has invaded its territory. On the other hand, the eagle is probably just exactly the opposite when it comes to characteristics. The eagle is actually the national bird of the United States. It's on the back of our coins. If you see the president talk or any government official speak, you will see the United States seal, and we have an eagle on there. The eagle represents freedom. It has amazing vision. Its eyes are designed for a long-distance focus and clarity. It can spot another eagle up to 50 miles away. How many kilometers is that? 50 miles would be how many? 80 kilometers away. That's a long way. It can fly up to an altitude of 10,000 feet. Whenever we fly from Houston to Alexandria on our smaller plane, because only smaller planes come into our little town, when we fly from Houston to Alexandria, our plane never gets above 10,000 feet. But that's a long way up if you're a bird. And eagles can fly up to an altitude of 10,000 feet. No bird, no other bird can fly that high. The air is too thin. There's not enough oxygen for any other bird to survive, but an eagle can. An eagle never eats meat that is already dead. It only eats the meat from the prey that it kills itself. It has a wingspan of 7 to 9 feet when its wings are outstretched. That's what, 2 to 3 meters about? It's a long way. When an eagle is flying and a storm comes up, the eagle can actually fly above the storm into the calm and survive. It doesn't go below. It doesn't try to escape by going down. It escapes by going up. When an eagle becomes worn from life, it withdraws to a place that is hidden and where there is fresh water. While there, he doesn't hunt because his beak has become dull and his claws have become dull as well. He essentially is fasting. And while he does this, his feathers molt and fall out. His beak falls off, and his claws and talons fall off. It's almost as if he were dead. And then, as he begins to drink fresh water, his feathers grow back out, his beak grows back out, and his claws and talons return and are sharp again. That is why the scripture says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." This usually happens when an eagle is about 30 years old. And if he does not retreat to a place where he can go through this process, he dies. But if he does retreat to this place where he can go through this process, he will live 30 to 40 more years. The length of his life, he will repeat. After he is renewed, there are little pockets of oil under his wings that he breaks and spreads all over himself until he's shining and glistening. Then once he's covered with the oil, he goes to the edge of his high place, and he doesn't even flap his wings, but he waits for the currents of the wind to pick him up. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. He doesn't fly. He mounts upon the wind of God. He doesn't take things into his own wings, as it were, or hands. He mounts upon the wind of God. How wonderful it is to know that God has created visual illustrations in nature that show us how much he cares for us and has provided all the tools and the materials we need, not to just survive in this world, but to thrive in this world. There are many references in the Bible to the grandness of eagles, but Proverbs 30, 18 through 19 seems to sum it up. It says, "There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air." And then it talks about the serpent, the ship, the man, and the maid. Too wonderful for me, yea, four, which I just can't understand. And that's the way of an eagle in the air. And that's the way it is with me. I cannot understand God's mercy and love toward me. It's too wonderful for me. I can't get it figured out. Many biblical references talk about how an eagle lives in high and lofty places and how it bears its young upon its wings and how it considers its prey and plans the attack. It's a good study for you if you would like to search out every place in the Bible where eagles are mentioned and what God has to say about them. But what I'm bringing to you this morning is this. You are called to be an eagle. According to the word, you are called to be an eagle. Say that with me. I am called to be an eagle. So today I'm going to speak to you through a parable about an eagle and a weasel. And I pray that any of you who have ears to hear, that God will let him hear. Let me just ask this, and don't be embarrassed. If you have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost and you would like to have it this morning, would you raise your hand if there's anybody here? I just want to know. Okay. If you have an issue in your life that you've never been able to get over and you would like for it to leave your life this morning, would you raise your hand? Okay. Just need to know who's here. So let's all pray right now, if we could. Close your eyes. Pray with me. God, open our hearts today. Give us ears to hear today. Give us a mind to know, God. Give us a heart to understand. Let us come before your throne this morning, Lord, seeking your face. And let us not forget that we are just pilgrims down here. We're pilgrims and we're strangers, God. We are not residents of this earth. The longest life that is in here this morning, that is here, that will be here, is still just but a vapor, God, whenever we measure it alongside eternity. And let us determine this day that we will live our days to the fullest and we'll do whatever hard work it takes within ourselves to fulfill the potential, God, that you have given to us that you would like to see us use for you, and help us remember that it's not our job and it's not our home, Lord. It's not our hobbies or our intentions that will outlive us. But God, only what we do for you will last. So come to us this morning in the spirit of revelation and lead us and teach us and guide us. I pray that in your name. And everybody said amen. I'm going to read a little story to you, a parable, as it were, about an eagle and a weasel. There was a little boy one time who wanted to see an eagle fly. He put some sandwiches in his backpack, got his binoculars, and set out on the plains, saying, "I'm going out there to see the eagles fly." The sky was vast and seemed to stretch forever like an endless blue blanket, but no birds were anywhere in flight. He waited for what seemed like forever and was about to head home, dejected, when far, far above his head, he spied it, the eagle. As the magnificent creature soared into the boy's view, he was awestruck. The boy had learned about eagles in school, but nothing had prepared him for this sighting of a real eagle. When the eagle spreads his wings from tip to tip, he's 7 to 9 feet long. The eagle can see up to 80 kilometers away. His vision is that keen. The eagle soars at heights where other birds are not able to breathe and operates at the highest level. The eagle even mates in the air, and that ensures that it will only mate with its own species. It never risks partnering with chickens, for example, because, of course, the chicken can't fly that high. It's not that the chicken doesn't want to fly that high. It's just not designed to fly that high. Its body is too big and its wings are too short. And flap all it wants to. The chicken goes 5 feet in the air and then it's right back down to the ground. But when the eagle spreads its wings, it uses the wind to increase its velocity. So the greater the storm, the higher the eagle flies. For the storm pushes the eagle higher and higher into the air. "Oh, wow, look at the eagle fly," exclaimed the little boy. He watched the eagle, first with his own eyes and then through the lenses of his binoculars, the eagle, an elegant, moving speck. Mesmerized, he watched the winged wonder ascend, circle, glide, descend, swoop, ascend, circle, glide, maneuver. He was captivated. And suddenly the eagle swooped down to the ground like a torpedo, snatched something and took it back into the air. The boy couldn't see what it was. And then, in a National Geographic type moment, the eagle went higher and higher and higher, and then it just stopped. The eagle appeared suspended in midair as if it had been shot. And now the eagle was falling as the little boy looked on, confused. And this time the lion of flying creatures was not diving down with aim or focus, but it was plummeting and flapping and falling and flapping and falling and flapping and falling. And finally it disappeared from sight. The boy thought, "Did somebody shoot it? I didn't hear a gun. I've got to find out. I can't go home until I know what happened to it." He had to walk a couple of miles to find the eagle, and when he did, there lay 9 feet of wings stretched out, helpless. The eagle was lying down, nose in the dirt, and it was dead. The boy kneeled next to the eagle because by now he almost felt a kinship to it, and he sobbed, and he was thinking, "What killed this eagle?" And cautiously he turned it over, and there, affixed to the eagle's chest, was a weasel. The most common and unclean of the lowliest ground critters. This ordinary weasel had bitten through the regal chest into the heart of the eagle. "Now I see what happened to the eagle," the boy thought. He picked up something that he couldn't let go of. Then he cried to the dead eagle, "Eagle, you were stronger than the weasel. The weasel could never have hurt you if you didn't pick it up and just hold on to it. And you, in this congregation this morning, you're an eagle. You were built to fly. You were built to love and to be loved and to touch and to be touched and to think and to create and to participate. Whom did you pick up? Or what did you pick up? that has got you living among chickens when you were called to soar like an eagle. Somewhere in your life is a weasel that is eating at you, a weakness, a fear, an insecurity, a vulnerability. Do you want to see the top of the mountains? Do you want to spread your wings and fly through the clouds? Do you want to feel the cool breeze blowing across your face? Do you want to soar so high that the world will know that you are here? What do you want with the life that you have left? Are you going to stay in the chicken coop, or are you going to spread your wings and fly? I read that story at a time in my life where I felt that I had no power over some circumstances that were eating my heart out. I whined and cried to God to remove them, to change them. I begged Him. I pleaded with Him. It felt like my prayers got about to that ceiling and flew right back down. Have any of you ever been there? Every one of us, whether in leadership or not in leadership, comes to the table with hidden things in our hearts that we wish were not there. We may have or have not tried to gloss them over and to pretend they aren't there and to pretend that everything is okay, only to have them remain there and rear their head every time they're triggered. Or sometimes we just simply give up. It's that way. We can't change it. What does it matter? But when that happens, every time, there's a part of us that grieves over what might have been or over what we feel should have been. And deep down, when we do that, an ugly stem of bitterness lingers that subtly tinges our decisions and our relationships and our consecration efforts, because we might consciously or unconsciously blame our spouse or our parents or even God. Some things we think, we say, God could have fixed it if He would have wanted to. I've thought that. We prayed and nothing changed. I've thought that. He has power. He could have made the outcome so much different. But since He didn't, there's a part of us that really doesn't trust Him with other things anymore. But we would never dare let anybody know that, would we? As a matter of fact, we tell our own selves that we don't believe that. But it still continues to erode our confidence in Him and in ourselves. And little by little, we feel who we are is getting lost and slipping away. And we don't know what to do about it. So what I would like to remind you this morning is really very, very simple. You were called to be an eagle. The word says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You're called to soar above the petty issues that plague you and go to heights of abundant life. He begs and calls us all the time. But so many of us are holding on to weasels that are destroying us. That petty, weak little scavenger, that slippery, dirty little lowlife is destroying your life that was intended to soar and conquer and fly majestically above the storm. So is there a weasel eating your heart out this morning? Have you allowed jealousy or anger or discouragement or hurt to steadily bite into your flesh until you feel as if you are falling out of control and you don't know what to do about it? I am well aware of issues that can seem beyond your control. I'm well aware that when life comes at you fast with one tragedy and trial right after another, that you can become numb. I understand that. You can begin operating on autopilot because the things that come at you many times are not your own fault. But you still don't know how to stop it. What I want to make sure you understand before I leave here today is only you can control you. Only you. Your circumstances can't control you. Your spouse cannot control you. Your past or your future can't control you. They can control your surroundings, but they cannot control your heart. Only you have control over your heart. So what you need to do this morning is reach up with your spiritual claws and take hold of the weasel and rip it off of you. Your spouse can't pull the weasel off of you. Your kids changing their ways can't pry the weasel away from you. Even God won't take it from you unless you honestly tell him, I'm letting go now, God. It's yours. You have to make the first move. Let go of the weasel today. Mark 11:23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. But then it says, and when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you. When you stand praying, rip off the weasel. But if you do not forgive, if you do not rip off the weasel, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. So I'm coming to you today with a plea to let go of the hurt, let go of the pain, let go of the fact that it seems that he or she will never be able to be to you what you need them to be. Let go of the secret issues within your heart that you never speak about, but that loom in front of you every time you try to make progress within yourself or progress within the Spirit. Let go of the weasel. Let September 2nd be a red letter day in your life. You can name it Eagle Day. Pray Psalm 140, 1 through 5. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Pray this: blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to upward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, there are more than can be numbered. Pray that prayer. You know, it's possible to live in the middle of hell on earth and be filled with inner joy. Did you know that? Many of you do that. I'm sure you do. I don't know you. I don't know your circumstances, but I know human nature. And I know that it doesn't even matter what part of the world I'm in. Many people live in circumstances that are not pleasant and are not desirable, but it's possible to live there and have an inner joy that bubbles up out of your heart that cannot be contained. It's possible to exist in the middle of broken dreams, but have a secret sanctuary inside yourself where you meet with God and experience a deep abiding assurance that he is in control. But it is not possible to live there if you're holding on to a weasel. So I'm asking you to let go of the victimization this morning. I'm asking you to let go of the weasel. Down low, there's wind and rain and cold and fear, but when you let go of the weasel, you have the freedom to rise above the elements into the brilliance of the atmosphere that no other being can experience. You have the ability to rise above the storm. You can get higher than all of the thunder and the lightning and the heavy wind. But only you can control that part of your space. You have to let go of the weasel in order to do that. Psalm 36:5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgment are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. When you rise above the storm and fly like an eagle, you can say, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasures. How many of you long for that, but you just can't quite seem to get there? Is it a weasel that's holding you back? For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. But God, let me remove the hand of the wicked so that I can soar where you've asked me to go, where you've called me to go, where you have designed for me to go. My prayer as we leave here today and as we leave the country on Tuesday is to know that all of you will go out of here and be the person that you know God has called you to be. Why live where you've been living? You can go higher. I pray that you will enter this new week with fresh enthusiasm and fresh fire and more determination than ever before, that you're going to do all you can to lead Canberra to the Lord. You're going to do all you can to show your family and your neighbors and your coworkers what living life the Jesus way looks like. But the first thing that needs to happen before you ever get in the car to go home is you have to let go of the weasel. And still, there may be some of you sitting there saying, I don't have anything like that. But I'm just challenging you to look a little deeper, because in my experience, in a room this size, there's usually not one that doesn't have some sort of a weasel that you need to let go of. Your spouse may not know it. The people closest to you may not know it, but you know it within your own heart. You know what it is. I have a weasel. I still have a weasel. But what I have to do every morning is I get up and I take it and I lift it off. It may come back because the devil is very clever. But if I wake up in the morning, it's there. I don't go into my day without saying, you will not affect me today. I do have power over you. I can grind my heel into your head and I can have control. Through the power of Jesus' name, I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. But when you give it to God every single day, it will not attach itself to you. Every morning I pray this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. I think so many times we're trying to do that while we're hanging on to the weasel. But the Bible says, only after I've let it go can I teach transgressors thy ways, and can sinners be converted unto thee. So I'm asking you this morning to give it up. It's not worth eating the heart out of who you are, who you're supposed to be, who you can be, who you were called to be. Get help beyond this point if you need to. Make appointments. Talk to your pastors. Talk to whoever they recommend that you talk to. That's fine. Let it be just between you and God if you want it to be that way. That's fine too. Let tomorrow take care of itself. But today, let go of the weasel. Let God lift you up. If you will come to the music, whoever, I can't see where, but just come to the music. I would like for you just to bow your heads right now and search your heart. In a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to act if you feel so inclined and if you feel God is calling you to. And in a minute, if you need to go to somebody and reconcile with them, do that. If you need to go to somebody and ask them forgiveness, do that. And if you need to take an old wound, an old hurt in your hands and just lift it up to God and totally give it to Him, then do that. He's just going to play softly. And I don't want anybody to act out of what they feel might be expectation or what you should do or whatever. I only want you to come forward if you have a weasel and you want God to know that you are letting go of it. Don't come just to come. Only come, and I would like for you to come whenever I tell you to, and just stand in front of this platform, lifting it to God. And as you feel the weasel begin to pull away from your heart, I ask that you kneel before the throne, just you and God, and let him start healing the places in your heart that were injured and wounded by the weasel that you let hang on too long. Do whatever you need to do, but with every step you make toward this altar, let it be your reminder that you were born to fly. You were born for greatness. You were born to be an eagle. And let it remind you always that nothing the enemy throws at you is worth eating the heart out of you, or stealing your life from you, or stealing your destiny from you. Thank you again for the opportunity that we've had to be with you and to share with you. And may God richly bless you and lead you beyond all of your wildest dreams. I pray that this church in Canberra will be a light and a beacon to all those who enter this city and who live in this city and who pass through this city. And the only way this church can be a light and a beacon is if the individuals sitting in each of these individual chairs get rid of the weasels and offer themselves up to God individually. Then individually, we become a collective force that wins our city for the cause of Jesus Christ. Could you stand?